Welcome to our show today. You're listening to Grow Your Business Network, the place where businesses grow up. Founded by America's number one Fortune 500 consultant, Nancy Michaels. You can learn more about Nancy and her inspiring life story, creative ways to grow your business, and how to partner with large companies by visiting growyourbusinessnetwork.com. For tips on how to grow your business on a shoestring budget, visit thebusinessskinny.com. And now for our show.
I'm Nancy Michaels, and I am extremely excited that you're here because most of you I know who registered are women business owners or entrepreneurs who are looking to create more wealth in their lives and who have maybe struggled in the past to take some of the right steps to do so. And we are glad that you have signed up and registered for this teleclass series. I have put together, with the help of Monica Liddell, my general manager, a really powerful lineup of women in business to teach you some of the wealth and prosperity principles and specific actions that you can take to become independently wealthy yourself. And I'm so grateful to have here with me today a friend and colleague who we've gotten to know each other better just recently, Barbara Kassoff. She is the president and CEO and co-founder of Women Impacting Public Policy, Inc. It's a nonprofit, bipartisan public policy advocacy organization, and I can't believe you have more than 500,000 members, including 49 business organizations. Mm-hmm. You are charged with educating and advocating on economic issues for women in business. You have owned several other companies, Barbara, which I had no idea about until doing further research on you, which is my job. VoiceTel of Michigan, the fourth largest voice messaging company in the U.S., VoiceTel of Central Michigan, and Voice Response Corporation. You've also opened and developed VoiceTel of Australia, a company with 11 offices throughout Australia and New Zealand, for the VoiceTel franchisor. Your experience really has just been amazing in management, your communication skills, and other energies empowering your fledgling companies to secure a really solid foothold in the rapidly expanding world of communications. And today, I'm just so grateful that you are here to talk with us really about how to diversify your revenues and really look at the government as being one of your best customers. And I think most of the people listening here sell a product or service, so there's a good chance, as you've educated me too, we've recently talked about this, that the government would be an ideal customer or buyer of yours. So if you're a small business, federal government presents a great opportunity. Federal agencies are required to target at least 23% of their spending for small businesses. And if you're a woman-owned business, Congress has set a goal that at least 5% of federal contracts should be set aside for you. So the Give Me Five initiative is designed to do just that, to help you get started and help you navigate the process to build a successful plan to actually go after the government as one of your clients. So I just wanted to thank you so much for joining us here today, because I think there's a lot of confusion about how to do that if it's not something that you've done in the past. And I admitted to you too, this is one area in my own business that I have not tapped into. I work with a lot of large corporations, as you know, and there are probably more similarities than not in terms of working with a government. So I just want to welcome you here and thank you so much for joining all of us to share your expertise on this topic.
Thank you so much, Nancy. It's, I think, a very important topic and very timely today. And you're right, there's a lot of confusion and a lot of misunderstanding. I think the important thing to remember is that in this economic time, I think many of us are revisiting and reevaluating our strategy, looking at our business models and how we are moving forward, how we're preparing our businesses to ride the ups and downs of the economic landscape. And one thing that, one perspective that I think it's important not to ignore is the opportunity that federal contracting offers to you.
Absolutely. Now, I'm curious about one of the statistics that I just read to you, too, though. If 23% of the spending is for small business, why are women only getting 5%?
That is the goal that was set by Congress. And if you take a look at the actual contributions that women business owners make to our economy, that 5% goal is really ludicrous. And the fact that we only meet 3.4% of that goal is really a pity. That means that there's over $6 billion that is on the table right now. And I think the issue here is that, and actually we've surveyed on this, so it's more defined than that. More than 75% of women business owners are afraid to try federal contracting. They've heard it's complex. They've heard it's confusing. They've heard from colleagues and friends that say, oh, I've tried it, and in past 3 years I've never gotten a single contract, and I've spent so much time and energy on it, and it's just a joke. And that's an unfair statement. There are tremendous
opportunities. Well, it's interesting, though, that you mentioned that, because I think fear is the thing that paralyzes a lot of us.
Absolutely.
In terms of moving forward and actually achieving some of these, benchmarks in our business.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting. I didn't realize that even at 3.4%, there's still $6 billion left on the table that we could get. So 5%, I guess, is a reasonable and very attainable goal if we all get on board and start to look at our businesses in a way that could go after these government opportunities and contracts.
Sure. And, you know, Nancy, I think as in everything that you do, it's a matter of understanding who your customer is and preparing, doing your homework, doing your research before you pick up a phone, before you make any move to do something. You need to really research, take a little bit of time to understand what you do. And it's very much, and you brought this up when in your initial remarks, that it's not much different than when you do business in the private sector. Before you walk into a company to do business, to sell your service or your product, don't you know who the decision makers are there, who your competitors are there? Haven't you networked to be able to find a relationship to build on to get in that door? Haven't you built your collateral so that when you walk in, you have exactly the right messaging and the right collateral that will fit their need and what they want? That's not much different than with federal contracting.
And that's so interesting. And I think that, Barbara, from what you know about me too, I mean, that is definitely part of what I profess to everyone in terms of the private sector. For me, I think there's a little bit of fear-based hesitation, I guess, too, in identifying the government as a potential buyer, because it just is unfamiliar territory for me.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think that you're right, the steps are still the same.
They're exactly the same. You have to understand how it's shaped. You have to understand what the process is there. Who are the players in the government, and which ones are your potential buyers? It's not the entire government. You have to be able to identify and isolate and target the exact ones that you want. So if you understand what the policy is about this, what the overall policy, and you understand the process, and you understand who the agencies and the people are that represent your customer and the opportunities, then what you're going to do is break it down into achievable chunks so that you can begin to develop and establish a strategy.
Right, and I think that's so important because the world, I always say, is not your oyster. It doesn't need to be. You really just need to target a finite number of companies or government agencies then that would be applicable, that your product or service would actually fit and add value to their objectives and what they're attempting to do.
Yeah, one of the things that we did, you mentioned Give Me Five. That's a whole series of webinars and training programs, both physical training programs and podcasts and webinars that we have that really step you through this process. And we have most of our programs archived so that you, your staff, can listen to them over and over and begin to get an overall perspective of what this is. But one of the things that we think is critical to all of this is how you develop that strategy. First, you have to take a look at who you are today. What are the goals of your company? What trends and what competitors should be monitored so that you can see what the gaps are, what the opportunities are for you? And you have to understand that you can sell what you want all day, but if they are not buying, and this is true, whether it's the private sector or the government, it doesn't make any difference. So you need to have that reality check. You need to make sure that when you actually go out to sell, that you are selling a product to the people that actually want to buy that. And you need to do a reality check. You need to look at who the competition is, and you have to put together that strategy and the content, contacts, and the game plan. So there are, we've done a lot of investigation, a lot of research, and have really begun to identify and outline how you do that specific marketplace analysis to the government.
Can I ask you something, Barbara, because you bring up a really good point. I mean, how do you know? I mean, I don't even know when I target a corporation. I might have an inkling based on advertisements they're placing or where I see them showing up in the media. It shows to me then that they're advertising, that they have the money and the resources to go after that demographic or with that message. But with a government, how do you know who's buying?
Oh, you absolutely know. What it is, thank goodness for transparency in government, because it's there. There are many procurement sites, number one, where you can do your research. And some of them are just, to just relay a couple of them to you, you go to sba.gov, or you go to fedbizops. .gov, FEDBIZOPPS.gov, or GSA.gov. And we have a whole list of that we provide of places that you can actually research. And then we help you go through an actual strategy where you build a spreadsheet that will help you identify and put together your target list of which agencies are buying what you have to sell.
Right, which is so smart because you don't want to spend a lot of time. I mean, marketing takes time and money. And
it'll be so frustrating for you. And it's so unnecessary if you take these tests, these simple steps. And are you talking about hours and hours of work? No. Once you have the outline for this spreadsheet for a target list approach, it's really simple. It really could take you, set aside one day to do that research and use the facilities that you have, the websites that you have, to really begin to research. But one other
point. Barbara, how do you help individuals do that? I mean, are there people who are part of your organization?
And
is there a fee associated with that, or a donation, because obviously you're a nonprofit?
Sure. Let me give you two opportunities or two options that you have. Number one, wherever you're located, whatever state, whether you're Massachusetts or California or Kansas, there are offices, SBA offices and procurement offices that are there to help you set your strategy. Their sole goal in life is to help you succeed in federal contracting, and you should contact them. You should take advantage of it. In addition, you have SCORE, the Service Corps of Retired Executives. You have the SBDCs, the Women's Business Development Centers. There are a number of agencies where you have the opportunity to sit one-on-one. Then we have, as part of WIP, Women Impacting Public Policy, our organization, we put together a program as a joint initiative and a partnership with OPEN that is called Give Me Five, and it has a website, Give Me Five, and it's the number 5.com. And we have this whole list of webinars that where you can, even before you go into one of these offices, get an idea of what you want to follow on. Do you have a product or service? What are your first steps? So that when you walk into any of these agencies, you have a defined sense of what information you need.
And that's amazing, because those are great. All of those are great resources that I'm familiar with also. I never thought about tapping into them, though, specifically for government contracts.
Oh, they're wonderful, wonderful sources that are there and available for you. And we partner with a lot of these organizations to bring a little bit more expertise and tools and products to them. And we have a number on the Give Me Five site, a number of publications that you can download. You can download any of the podcasts. A number of them are available at no charge to any business owner that wants to take advantage and gain the perspective of what's available to them. And then a whole array with very specific strategies and plans that you can implement for a $100 membership per year. And that entitles you to listen and participate endlessly, 10 times a day if you want, all your staff if you want.
Right. And, I mean, one government contract, too, even a smaller one, could be, you know, several thousand dollars, I would imagine.
Sure. You want to do that. Let me give you an example of one of our members that did exactly this. It's now 4 years ago. She sat down and worked out her strategy, step by step, of what she wanted to do. Then she implemented her plan. And her first year, her revenues were $250,000 in government contracts, and she does solely government contracting. The second year, she was over $1 million. Her third year, she closed at just shy of $3 million, and now she's just entering her fourth year, and she'll hit the $5 million mark.
That's amazing. And so really, I'm sure
Right,
and the resources that you probably have to take to really be that focused and that strategic are probably less than what most people right now are doing in terms of their own marketing.
Yeah, you don't want it to be, I'll try this. Let me try this.
The gunshot approach.
It's a gunshot approach. And that never works. I don't think it works in the private sector. I don't think it helps you grow your business, whether it's public or private, in a safe and steady way so that you can manage your growth. so that you can expand at the proper time, so that you can access the capital that you need for growth. When you think about it, if you have a steady incremental approach, an organized approach, you build your team, which consists not only of your internal team, but your strategic partners, as well as the people that are that you engage to do your business properly, your CPA, your banker, your attorney. And when you put that together, as you develop your business, whether public or private, then money is available for you. You can, in fact, access capital for growth. People look at you as an established, organized, trustworthy business. And by the way, I want to, now that I mentioned trustworthy business, I think I want to point that out and make that a very strong point that your listeners need to know. Always, always make sure that you never apply for contracts that you can't fulfill.
And I wanted to just mention, too, because you just, I think this will resonate with what you just said, that you had mentioned strategic partners. So that if you, my interpretation of that, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is that if you need additional help in some area to actually fulfill the mm-hmm. needs of that contract, that you partner with other businesses that complement what you do in order to be able to deliver on what you promise.
You know, as you do your research, you may see a bid proposal that's coming out there for a project, and you know that you can do one piece of this project. You can't do the entire proposal. So what you want to do is put together a team so that maybe together you can bid on this project. Or as part of your research, you want to identify other companies, other businesses that you can subcontract to. That's really a great opportunity for you, particularly if you're just stepping into federal contracting, you're just getting your feet wet.
You're bringing them under the umbrella of your company.
That's right.
Paying them a fee to deliver that piece of it. And obviously you're taking some sort of cut mm-hmm. from what you're charging as well, so that there's some profit there.
Sure. So one of the things that you want that is you do your research before you even do anything formal is identify prime contractors. And those are the big corporations that go after federal contracts. Big corporations like Office Depot or AT&T or 3M, they have big teams that seek federal contracting as well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have a piece of that pie that you can team up with. You can subcontract to them. So, you know,
that's a real win-win too, because you end up might possibly having them as a potential buyer of yours too at some point
mm-hmm.
in the future. So you're really, yeah, it's a
exactly
great way
all
to
of them have supplier diversity departments. All of them are looking to do business with you. And particularly if you're a woman-owned or a minority business,
mm-hmm.
take advantage of that.
Now, is there a specific certification that you need in order to be a government contractor?
There is no specific certification that you need if you are a woman-owned business. One of the things that you have to do immediately is sign on to the Central Contractor Database. That is how you get paid by the government, and that is how you self-certify, for lack of a better word to put it. It's
well, that
really,
is music, I'm sure, to many people's ears
There is no need for you to do anything. Some things, and it's real easy to register for the Central Contractor Database, the CCR as we call it. It really takes about 20 minutes if you prepare for it. We have a whole webinar on with a checklist. What do you have to have ready? How big do you have to be? What is your industry classification, your NACE code? You need to have your bank account information and your DUNS number. You get put together your checklist, get it all ready right in front of you, go online, and within 20 minutes, you're registered and you're prepared to do business with the government.
And honestly, if that's not something that I know for me as a business owner too, I don't enjoy finding all that information out and getting prepared for those kinds of things, but that's something that's easily delegatable too.
Absolutely. Give the person in your company the responsibility. These are the 10 things I need to know in order to register on the CCR.
Right. Here are the people who might be able to help you, my bookkeeper,
that's
my
right.
accountant. Right. And please get that together and then go online to complete
and
this.
And then you go online and in 20 minutes, done. You are finished. One of the things that I would like to point out to you, though, is that when you do business with the government, it's public. So it's not like doing business with a private company. If you are worried about them knowing how many employees you have or any information about your company, then the federal government is not the place for you to be.
So it's really transparent, and you just need to know that going into
it. Very transparent. And the government, as I said, is about avoiding risk.
Mm-hmm.
And before they're going to accept you as a contractor, assuming that you meet the needs for this contract, they're going to want to know all about you. And they're going to do their due diligence. That's why I said before, you need to make sure when you say you can do a job, you better make sure that you can fulfill it, because they're going to look at your past performance. They're going to look at your core competencies. They're all about avoiding risk. When they select you to be a contractor of theirs, then they want to make sure that you can do their job. And it's going to be the same thing if you're subcontracting. They want to make sure that you can do that job.
Sure, absolutely, because obviously they've got a lot. Like any entity that's spending money on a product or service wants to make sure that you're going to deliver, as we all do. You had mentioned, and I'm actually familiar with a couple of people who have been very successful with getting government contracts, but they're based in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to be there in order to pursue federal contracting or have some kind of satellite office or some kind of presence? And how do you network? Be able to meet.
At some point, you're going to want to have an office in D.C. You do
mm-hmm.
not need to have that right away. Some of the things that I suggest that you do as you're doing the research and as you're getting started off is that you take advantage of what's available in your local area, the PTACs, the centers. There are vendor outreach programs that are held all over the country. There are also, you'll find a listing of events and conferences where you can go to network and meet agency heads and small business specialists so that you can begin to identify. This is all about networking. Then, when you understand who your targets are, what the agencies are that you're targeting, when you understand what the goals are for a particular agency that you're targeting, then you make sure you're in Washington maybe once a quarter to start with.
Mm-hmm.
You designate, I'm going there for 2 days, you set up your appointments, and you start to network. And you meet the agency just like you develop your relationship with your banker. You don't go to your banker when you're in trouble
Only when you need money. Exactly.
That's right. You have a relationship all along so that they know who you are and what your business is. Well, if you're targeting health and human resources as one of your agencies, you're going to be there in Washington meeting with them at least once a quarter so that the small business specialist and the procurement officer, so that they know who you are. They begin to be comfortable with you. They've looked at your capability statement. That's your company profile that tells who you are. And as they become your friends, they also become your advocates. So they may pick up the phone and say, hey, Nancy, there's a contract that's coming down the pike in a couple of weeks that I think might be good for you to bid on. So you want to be there. So you do want to be in D.C., but you don't in the beginning. You don't want to be there all the time. You want to take advantage of all the different resources that you have and the conferences and the networking that you do. There are business matchmaking sessions held all across the country.
Right. The SBA, I know, is one entity that does that quite frequently. I've spoken actually at their annual conference. I think that happens in May.
That's right.
Every year, which is a great opportunity to do exactly what you said. And it's interesting. I've used this principle, too, with the franchise business, the International Franchise Association. The other great thing about D.C., as you know, is that almost every professional organization and association is based there.
Absolutely. If you don't have your headquarters there,
right.
You don't do business there.
It's really I know personally I just want to share this story because it might be useful to other people, too, just having – done some work in that industry, that every time I was a member of the IFA, which is the International Franchise Association, but any time I was in D.C., mostly for women's organizations that I was affiliated with, I would just drop in, sometimes even unexpectedly, like, hi, I'm here today, I just wanted to say hi, no need to change your schedule, just wanted to, and the FaceTime really was incredible because I got, you know, speaking opportunities at their conferences and conventions and just really built up an incredible relationship with them just by being present. So
exactly.
Yeah, I think that your idea about, you know, once a quarter is a goal.
And remember, they're in constant contact with their regional offices.
Right.
So
exactly,
that,
that's true.
And they talk. So that in between times, you're networking and you're developing the relationships on the local level. You're attending conferences that are held. So we're sometimes in the middle of, you know, before you get there for your quarterly appointment, they may be at a conference. So if Department of Energy is one of your targets, make sure you go to the Department of Energy conference. They have that once a year. You'll see them there then as well. And you'll meet other potential targets, prime contractors for you to do business with. You'll meet other business owners just like yourself that you may want to start teaming with and working together with. It's networking, networking, networking. No different.
And it's a great way to do that because you can really leverage your time and resources by showing up where you know the buyer is. And yeah. Well, listen, we're getting a lot of questions coming in. We've muted people because we have too many people on the line that it might be distracting. But I did want to ask you this one question that somebody wrote in, and she said, are there products or services that fare better? And is there a way to spin particular products or services? And I'm sure she means spin in the most in full of integrity.
But
you know, are companies looking, or is the government looking for very specific trainings? And you know, can you tell us more about what's more marketable?
Well, I think the first thing is that the government buys almost everything. You can sell lipstick You can sell walnuts or Q-tips. You can be a training and consulting firm. Every agency has training programs, whether it's for their internal staff that they need to train on, or whether they need to be able to put together a training program for the public on some aspect of their agency. So there is no limit, whether you're a service company or a manufacturing or a product-oriented company. And when you start to do your research on the federal sites that I mentioned earlier, FedBiz, mm-hmm. BizOps, and so on, you're going to be able to see typical contracts that are sold. You'll be able to do a search on your product or your service and see which agencies bought it or bought similar ones. You'll see who they sold to. So you'll see who your competitors are there.
Right.
That's
great.
It's a wealth of information. That's why I can't emphasize enough, get your ducks in order first.
Right, because it will make the whole process be almost seamless, it sounds like.
You'll spend a couple of months, maybe even, let's say, 6 months, doing all of this stuff, and then you're poised for success. Then you jump out and you're a winner pretty rapidly.
Well, and that depends, too, on how much time you want to devote initially, because
mm-hmm.
you said if it takes really a full day mm-hmm. to really throw yourself into it, you could spread that out over several weeks or just hunker down.
Allocate a couple hours a day or an hour a day or three hours a week.
And delegate. So
that's right. But set up, say, this is how I want to do it. I'm going to give myself X amount of time. This is what I need to do. Put together your list, your task list, and then tackle it.
Right.
Piece by piece.
Just as you would do any other challenge
exactly.
that you might be facing. So it makes it a lot more simple. And not having to be certified and going through all of that paperwork, because we've done that too for other
Right. You know, it's sometime you may want to look at different certifications if you're a disabled veteran. You know, there are some different kinds, but don't start off with that. Don't
right.
cloud the picture for yourself first. First, make sure you know what your product or service is and who you're going to sell to. And make sure you get your messaging extremely clear and crisp to the targeted agency customer that you have.
Right.
You know, that in the end, that's what it's all about. If you know that this agency buys what you sell, and you know they've sold to these, that they've used these competitors, you can build your messaging, very clear messaging targeted directly to that agency.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, again, that just shows that you've also have an organized and strategic approach. And I think the government, just like any business entity, is appreciative of somebody who pays attention to the details prior to, you know, getting involved.
These guys, men and women, are so inundated by people wanting to do the, and I'm talking about the agency specialists, the
sure.
private, they are inundated with hundreds of calls and emails per day. How do you stand out? You stand out by not asking silly, foolish questions, first of all.
Right.
You stand out because you know exactly how to connect with them, what they're looking for. You solve their problem, and they will solve yours by getting you that contract.
That's great. Another question came in too, Barbara, about, you know, what if you have that bad credit score or you filed for bankruptcy in the past? I mean, did they check this? How can you make yourself more appealing in terms of,
yeah.
you know, if you've had past mistakes here?
I think that's a hard question for me to answer. I think that's going to be an issue for you. And what you want to do, what I would do in that case is, number one, I would sit down with my CPA, my accountant, and say, this is what my history is, this is why, this is what I've done and how I've recovered, this is where I am. So you want to build your case that you had an issue, and maybe the issue was, you know, totally a business-related issue that was beyond your control.
Right, or even a personal, the death of a spouse, a divorce, you know, something
So you want to build your case to overcome it. This is what happened. This is how I succeeded and got beyond this. And you're going to prove to them that you're solid now, that you that they can risk doing business with you. And the person to do that with is your accountant.
And I would imagine, too, having great, solid testimonials, too, of the work that you've recently done, whether it's in the private or public sector, would
absolutely.
Help.
Absolutely. And you're, when you build your case, whether you had an issue or you didn't have an issue, you're going to have a clear capability statement or company profile. You're going to have a clear document that says who you've done work for. You're going to have your references, because remember, the government is going to check and find out. So, and then you're going to look at your website, and you're going to, what I recommend to people that want to do business, you have a tab on that you establish a tab on your website that's for the government, so that they can go on that tab right away and see how you've done business, if you've done business with the government before, who your target agency is, what your past performance is, all the things that they know, one, two, three. Because remember, they're busy. They can't. They don't want to hear stories. They can't be on the phone with you for an hour. They want to be able to access information quickly and succinctly about you.
Oh, that is, you know, so smart in a lot of ways, too. I talk about how to deal with the media, too, because my background was being a publicist. And it's very similar. You know, you want to do your homework. You want to be respectful of their time. You want to give them what they need and want.
Absolutely.
And not burden them with the rest of that.
No, they have got time for that.
Right, right. The other question that came in, too, is what was the website again to register on the CCR?
CCR.gov.
Okay, CCR.gov. So that's a quick and easy one.
Right. And if you go to the GiveMe5.com website, we have a podcast that you can download, and we have some checklists also available. So check that out before you go on online so that you know exactly what this is all about, what you're going to be asked.
Oh, that's great. So that's terrific. And another question just came in, too. I'm sorry to keep bombarding you. I have a whole my whole agenda, too, but I just want to make sure the people here who are listening in get their questions asked. Do people need to become a member of WIP or the Give Me Five to get the training? They just want to be sure.
We have initial training, a whole lot of courses that are available if you are not a member. That are available. And then we have an even greater series that are available that we ask that you do become a member. And you can become a member at our basic level of $100 per year. And that funding helps us continue to build the resources, the webinars, the training programs, to come out to your local area and do a regional or a citywide training program for you. That's what helps us continue to develop the research. So that membership fee helps us really represent you in Washington, make sure you have the right connections to get your federal contracts. And then our relationship with OPEN, who is totally committed to federal contracting. They help fund and put together these national training programs and the webinars as well.
Which is great, too, because when you think about it, even the cost of getting certified can be, you know, a few $100s, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I am certified through WeBank, which I know a lot of women business owners have done.
Sure.
And you know, they're a great organization, and that might be worth doing. But you also want to just be aware that, you know, that this really is an extremely low fee for the amount of information that you get.
You know, there is no free lunch ever anywhere. And if you want something of quality, you need to, and if you want to do your job right, it's going to cost you a little bit to work with your accountant. You want to make sure that your collaterals are good, so you're going to want to make sure that they're succinct and partner with somebody that's in that field if you don't have them on staff right away. So it's going to cost you a little bit to put all these materials together. And if you want good training, then you need to be able to make sure that it's quality training. We offer an awful lot to get you started at no charge, but there are a number of courses that we do ask that you become a member. It helps us do our job.
Sure, and you know, I mean, I know this. There's no free lunch firsthand. I'm not sure if you know the story of how I got Office Depot as a client, but I bid on lunch with the CEO of Office Depot back in 2002.
Oh,
and,
really?
The proceeds ended up going to make mine a million, and I know you're familiar with now also.
Absolutely.
And and that's really how that all happened. It's actually very funny. So I always say it was the most expensive lunch I ever bought for. It was $1,050 that I spent, but it was the best investment that I ever made in my business because they continue to be my largest client, which I'm incredibly grateful for. So you're right. And I wanted to just bring up one point, too, because you mentioned about the collaterals. And I've heard different things about what, you know, government agencies or even corporations and the supplier diversity folks want to see. But what I've heard is that they really just want to see a one-pager on you with your photo on it, with testimonials, with, you know, some, you know, what your capabilities are.
It's called a capability statement.
Okay.
So that's exactly it. And it should be one page. It should be perfect in grammar. I mean, you don't want to put together this is a reflection of your company.
Exactly, right.
And so you want it to be very clear as to who you are, what you've done, who you've done it for, so that they can look at it. And it should be, really, it should be one page. They're not going to read a book.
Right, which is the thing I wanted to make a point about, because a lot of people, I feel like they spend a lot of money, you know, in design and copywriting and to come up with some kind of elaborate document that really is not what these folks are looking for.
Yeah. We have a couple of examples. We have also another webinar on building and doing your capability statement and some examples of some ones that have been done that are we think are really good. That you can use as a model.
Right, and you can just, you know, look at somebody either internally or, you know, get a designer who could mock something up pretty quickly, I would imagine, to do that. So, yeah, that's great. And putting your picture on, I think, makes sense because even though it almost is reflective of the whole real estate, you know, business card thing that maybe some of us think was not exactly the image that we might want to have, but it's really good when you follow up, especially, too, if you put that in your signature of your email, too, so that people can connect who you are and what you're trying to sell.
Yeah, great point to make.
So, okay, good one.
Great point. Let me just mention another thing, too, that some people don't think about. Your email address, because you just mentioned it, should not be nancymichaels@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
It should be Nancy Michaels @ and then your domain name. They don't want to deal with somebody. If you have a Gmail or a Yahoo or an AOL account that you're using, that already makes them a little bit worried. So
because it says you're not in it for the long haul.
That's right.
You know, you haven't really made the commitment to be in business.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, yeah, that point is, I remember very early on when I first started my business, literally out of a closet in my condo in Boston, I went out and rented from what used to be mailboxes, et cetera, is now the UPS store, a P.O. box on Newbury Street in Boston, which is kind of like the Rodeo Drive of California to Boston. And it, you know, it was amazing in terms of the perception that people had. And so, yeah, a lot of it is really their perception is their reality.
That's right. And remember, they want to mitigate risk.
Right, exactly. So you want to, you know, look
if,
in.
If there's any indicator there that you're not legitimate or in it for the long haul, or that you haven't developed even a website that says who you are, well, then they're not going to be too sure you can do the business.
Right. So, yeah, all of that really hopefully is business basics 101, but I think it still is worth repeating, especially with the government or any large entity. Are there, other than looking at all these resources that you've already given us, are there steps that a business owner should take if she decides to pursue this course, you know, of action in terms of going after government contracts? I mean, do your homework, look at these sites, maybe download some of these webcasts, podcasts, training materials.
Yeah,
anything
I
else
mean,
that you would recommend?
Right. I think that the thing is exactly what we said, to get your act together, do your research, do your homework, make the contacts, network, build the right kind of collateral, go to matchmaking sessions, get your website and your email set up, and get in front of decision makers. But maybe what all of those things we touched on and we did, but maybe what I'd like to say is what you should avoid. And that is, you don't want to market to the entire federal government. When you put your strategy, you're going to hone in on two or three agencies only. You don't want to spend your time bidding on every single contract that's out there. That is self-defeating. You're going to set up a scenario of losing many, many more than you can get. That's not the image that you want to portray. You want to be able to target the ones that you have the best chance of success at. You do not want to be all things to all people.
Right.
You want to be.
You lose
also,
credibility that way, don't you? I mean,
exactly.
People can't believe that you can possibly do all these things.
Right. And you never want to pick up the phone until you are absolutely ready to go. And then the last mistake that I would say you want to avoid is don't be impatient. You know, understand that this is a process.
Love
Some of us
time.
Got into business overnight, but most of us, it evolved.
Right, and there's sort of a buying cycle, too, that happens that we're not always aware of when they're ready to make
sure.
that decision
you know,
and move
part
forward.
Part of this whole process is when you've gotten all your pieces in order and ready to go, then you want to take a look at what are the government's funding priorities for 2010. You know, so right now you would want to take a look if you're all ready to go now. What is in store on the second year of stimulus funds? Where are the opportunities over there? The government has a huge push for green. How do you fit there? Or healthcare. God knows, you know, maybe someday we'll get it, you know, legislation. But we know for sure healthcare IT is going to be a huge component. So if you're an IT company, how do you fit there? Can you fit there? Or can you team with somebody that's in that niche?
Right, absolutely. And it's great to know those trends, too, so you can really find that out by doing your research.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, that's all part of the game is knowing what they're looking for, what they want, what's available, so that you can then make sure you do that one last adjustment. When you're ready to go, you do that one last adjustment on your target list, on your strategy, to make sure that if some new things are coming out, that you think that there can be a fit for, you're going to want to adjust your target list.
Sure. Now, and that makes complete sense. And Barbara, one last question, too. There are men on the line as well.
Mm-hmm.
So let's give it up for the men who signed up for this.
This process is identical.
Okay, it is. So men can get the training on your site at these other organizations or websites that you've mentioned as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we are a non-discriminating, inclusive group, as always.
Absolutely. And I want to tell everybody, you can email me anytime. I probably won't be able to answer all the questions or whatever, but I'll make sure I direct you to who you need to.
That's
be
great.
In touch
that was
with.
Definitely one of my, you know, final questions that I wanted to ask you is it okay for people to reach out and touch you via email? Do you want to give your specific web site again?
Sure. I'm going to give you two things.
Address?
One is the WIPP website. That's WIPP, Paul, Women Impact, short for Women Impacting Public Policy, .org, WIPP.org. So take a look at the website. Take a look at the Give Me 5 website, giveme5.com, and it's the number 5. And then my own personal email, and anybody is always free to email me, is B for Barbara, and my last name, Kassoff, K-A-S as in Sam, O-double-F as in Frank, at WIPP.org. bcast@wip.org.
Thank you so much, and I so appreciate this. We'll get your email. We'll get all that information out to everybody who's on the call, too, just in case they didn't mention it. But I just want to thank you so much for really all of this great information. And I feel like my fear has subsided a little bit in terms of wanting to tackle this. And I know we'll be in touch soon, too. And actually, I wanted to mention to everybody who's on this call, too, that soon you will be doing a web cafe with Office Depot, too.
Yeah.
That's coming up in March. And everybody will get a notice of that, too, with Linda Denny, who heads up WeBank, which is the Women's Business Enterprise National Council, about, you know, is certification right for you? And, yeah, a little bit more about, you know, going after both private and government contracts. So I'm incredibly grateful to you. And so glad we were able to share some time together, too, at the Leadership Institute for Make Mine a Million a few months back, and connected on some other levels, too. And I'm so grateful, too, that you kicked this off. And just want to thank you so much for that.
Well, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting us. And let's all hope that we take advantage of these opportunities and we really increase our wealth.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is what
what it's all about
to do here in this whole teleseries, and I know that's your mission as well. And
yeah.
I just want to let everybody know, too, who's on the line, too, if you have any other questions, please feel free to email us at info@growyourbusinessnetwork.com. And coming up tomorrow, actually, we have two people, Gianna Gabellini and Ava Gregory, and they are prosperity and abundance coaches and authors of Life Lessons for Mastering the Law of Attraction, which was also written with Jack Canfield. Next week, we too have Rita Wolfson, we have Erin Lozano, we have Nell Merlino coming up, Shelley Campbell. We have a whole list of people going on for the next 5 weeks. So I would really encourage you to go to independentlywealthywomen.com and look those folks up. And if you want to order to be on the teleclasses individually, if you have done so today, I hope you will continue to, or certainly you could register for the whole series. So until next week, I just want to say thanks so much for everybody for participating. Special thanks to you, Barbara, for your time here today. And I'm just very grateful for the information that you share with everyone.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We certainly hope you enjoyed our show today and found the information valuable to the growth of your business. For more classes such as these, please visit growyourbusinessnetwork.com.